Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hey, Herman and Corin. So if you can't tell from me puffing as I try to record this prompt, I've had a kind of rough patch with health lately. We talked about in a few episodes the great leak fiasco of 2025. Roof leak. We had to move to another apartment for a while. Whole to-do. And so much going on, just focused on shelter, that I didn't have time to really take care of myself very well, and very little exercise. To top that off, I had asthma exacerbations, and now I've got a heavy cold, which always makes it harder to breathe. So I'm feeling pretty out of shape. I am pretty out of shape, but I want to get back into shape. One of the reasons I really have been excited to create this podcast is I wanted to carve out an hour a day that I send in my prompts in the morning, and in the evening I just listen. I mentioned before as well that after my gallbladder surgery, one of the hardest things has been that exercise really triggers bile gastritis for me, which is basically that it comes up and but I have to move. One has to move. And my question is, Herman and Corin, therefore twofold. When one is super out of shape, like I am now, the hardest part is usually just getting in back into the gym or starting that first daily walk, and then it kind of flows. What are your tips for someone like that who just wants to, I want to do walking plus proper cardio and gym stuff, but I want to just kind of have a few walks planned out. What do you recommend in terms of duration? Any useful apps that I might want to use? And I think we talked about this before. If not, maybe it's probably better kept for another episode. We can touch upon it in brief. I mentioned that with the gastritis thing, what it seems to be is that anything jostling around your stomach is bad. Obviously with walking, you can only get so far in terms of cardio benefits. So what are some other forms of aerobic exercise you can think of that might be useful for someone in a situation like this, whereby the conventional stationary bike and whatever just seems to not work very well with your new digestive system? Over to you two.
Welcome back, everyone, to My Weird Prompts. I am Corn, and as always, I am here with my brother, the man who probably has a spreadsheet for his own coffee intake.
Herman Poppleberry at your service. And for the record, it is not a spreadsheet. It is a highly calibrated data visualization tool. But today we are shifting gears from caffeine to calories, or more accurately, the journey of getting back to them. Our housemate Daniel sent us a prompt this morning that I think is going to resonate with a lot of people. He is coming off a rough patch. The whole Grace Leak fiasco of 2025 really took a toll on his routine, and now he is looking to get back into the swing of things with walking, cardio, and the gym.
Yeah, that leak was a nightmare. Moving apartments in the middle of everything. The stress. The asthma flare-ups. It is no wonder fitness took a back seat. But now that he is settled and feeling that itch to move again, he is facing some specific challenges. Not just the usual out-of-shape hurdles, but some real physical constraints following his gallbladder surgery, and this issue with exercise-triggered bile gastritis.
It is a fascinating and honestly quite difficult intersection of factors. When you have had your gallbladder removed, the way your body handles bile changes completely. Instead of being stored and released in response to fat, it just kind of trickles into the small intestine constantly. And if you are doing high-impact exercise, that bile can actually backwash into the stomach, causing that gastritis Daniel mentioned. It is literally a mechanical issue of jostling and pressure.
Right, and that is where the nuance comes in. Most fitness advice is very go hard or go home, but for Daniel, going hard might literally make him sick. So today we are diving into how to build a sustainable routine that respects those internal mechanics while still getting the results. We are talking duration, specific movements, and the tech that can help track the progress without overdoing it.
I love this topic because it is about the transition phase. Everyone talks about the peak performance, but the getting back to it part is where most people fail. They try to pick up where they left off 2 years ago, and their body just says, no thank you.
That's it. So let us start with the basics. Daniel mentioned walking as his first step. I think there is a tendency to undervalue walking as exercise because it feels too easy. But for someone in Daniel's position, it is arguably the most important tool in the shed. Herman, when we look at the research on low-intensity steady-state cardio, what are we actually seeing in terms of metabolic benefit for someone starting from zero?
Well, the beauty of walking is that it hits what we call zone 2 training if you push the pace just a little bit. Zone 2 is that sweet spot where your body is primarily burning fat for fuel and building mitochondrial density without putting a massive amount of stress on your central nervous system. For someone with bile gastritis, walking is the ultimate low jostle activity. There is no vertical oscillation like you get with running. Your organs stay relatively still. In terms of duration, the latest research suggests that even 30 minutes of brisk walking 5 days a week significantly reduces all-cause mortality and improves insulin sensitivity. But for Daniel, I would actually suggest starting with what I call the 10-minute rule.
The 10-minute rule? Is that just doing 10 minutes and quitting?
Not necessarily. It is the commitment to do 10 minutes no matter what. If after 10 minutes you feel like garbage because of the gastritis or the asthma, you have permission to stop. But usually, once the blood starts flowing and the joints lubricate, you will want to keep going. For a total beginner or someone returning after a long break, I would aim for 20 to 30 minutes of walking at a pace where you can still hold a conversation, but you would rather not. If you are huffing and puffing, you have crossed into zone 3, and for Daniel, that might increase the abdominal pressure too much too soon.
I think the conversational pace is a great benchmark. It is a built-in safety valve. But let us talk about the gym side of things. Daniel wants to get back to proper cardio and gym work. If he is trying to avoid jostling, the traditional treadmill is probably out, or at least the running portion of it. What are the alternatives that provide high intensity for the heart, but low impact for the gut?
This is where the elliptical and the stationary bike come in, but with a few caveats. The elliptical is fantastic because it mimics the running motion but keeps the feet in constant contact with the pedals, which eliminates that jarring impact. However, some people find the upright posture and the swinging arms can still cause some internal movement. The stationary bike is often the gold standard for low impact. But for someone with bile issues, the seated, slightly hunched position can actually increase intra-abdominal pressure.
That's a good point. I have noticed that when I am really leaning into a climb on a bike, I feel a lot of pressure in my midsection. If Daniel's issue is bile reflux, that compression might actually push things the wrong way, right?
Precisely. It is called the intra-abdominal pressure gradient. If you are bent over, you are squeezing the stomach. For Daniel, I would actually recommend a recumbent bike if his gym has one, or at least keeping a very upright posture on a standard stationary bike. But the real winner here, the absolute king of low-impact cardio for someone with gastric issues, is swimming.
I was waiting for you to say swimming. It is the Herman Poppleberry solution to everything. But seriously, the horizontal position in swimming, does that help or hurt with the bile reflux?
It is a bit of a double-edged sword. For some, being horizontal can make reflux worse because gravity isn't helping keep things down. But for the gastritis caused by movement, the buoyancy of the water is incredible. It supports the abdominal wall. You aren't bouncing. You are gliding. If he finds that the horizontal position is an issue, he could look into water aerobics or even just walking laps in the pool. The resistance of the water gives you a massive cardio workout at a much lower speed, which means less internal sloshing.
That makes sense. It is about reducing the peak forces on the body. Now, let us pivot to the gym work, the resistance training. Daniel mentioned he wants to do gym stuff. Usually, that means weights. For someone who has had abdominal surgery, even if it was a while ago, core stability is huge. But you have to be careful with the Valsalva maneuver, that thing where you hold your breath to stabilize your spine during a heavy lift.
Yes, definitely. For Daniel, he needs to avoid extreme intra-abdominal pressure. If you are bracing for a heavy squat and holding your breath, you are creating a high-pressure environment in your torso. That is exactly what will push bile back up into the stomach. So, for the first few months, I would suggest higher repetition ranges with lower weights. Think 12 to 15 reps. This allows him to focus on rhythmic breathing, exhaling on the exertion, which keeps the pressure from spiking.
So instead of a 5x5 heavy strength program, he is looking at more of a hypertrophy or endurance style of lifting. What about the specific movements? Are there things he should avoid entirely?
I would stay away from anything that involves jumping, so no box jumps or burpees for now. I would also be cautious with heavy deadlifts or any movement where the torso is parallel to the floor for long periods, like bent over rows. Again, it is about that pressure gradient. Seated cable rows, chest presses, and lat pull downs are great because they allow for a controlled, upright posture. And for the legs, a leg press might be better than a barbell squat initially because it is easier to control your breathing and you aren't fighting to stabilize a heavy load on your shoulders.
It sounds like the theme here is control. Controlled movements, controlled breathing, controlled heart rate. It is less about the explosive power and more about the steady rebuild. Daniel also asked about apps. I know you have a few favorites for tracking and planning.
I do. For the walking and general outdoor movement, you cannot beat Strava. Even if you aren't being competitive, just seeing your own heat map and the consistency of your walks is a huge psychological boost. But for the gym specifically, I really like an app called Fitbod. The reason I think it would work for Daniel is that it uses an algorithm to suggest workouts based on the equipment you have and your past performance. You can actually tell it to avoid certain movements or focus on specific muscle groups. It takes the thinking out of it, which is great when you are just trying to build the habit back.
I have used Fitbod before. It is good because it varies the routine so you don't get bored, which is a big reason people quit in the first month. Another one I would throw out there, especially for the cardio side, is an app called ZRX, which used to be known as Zombies Run. I know it sounds silly, but for someone who finds walking or light jogging boring, it turns it into a game. You are listening to a story, you are collecting supplies, and it gives you a reason to get out the door. Although Daniel should probably turn off the zombie chases feature, because that forces you to sprint, which goes back to that high-impact jostling we want to avoid.
Good point. Keep the story, skip the sprints. Another one that is a bit more technical but very useful for someone with health concerns is HeartGraph. It gives you a very detailed look at your heart rate zones in real time. If Daniel knows that his gastritis tends to flare up when he hits a certain intensity, he can use that app to make sure he stays just below the threshold. It is about data as a safety net.
I think that is a key insight. Using the data not to push harder but to stay within the safe zone. It is a different mindset than what we usually see in fitness culture. Now, Daniel mentioned the duration. We talked about the 30-minute walk, but what about the overall weekly volume? If he is doing 2 days of walking, 2 days of gym, and maybe 1 day of low-impact cardio, is that too much to start?
It depends on the intensity. If he is doing 20 minutes each time, that is 100 minutes a week. That is a fantastic starting point. The World Health Organization recommends 150 minutes of moderate intensity activity, so he would be two-thirds of the way there just by starting. My advice would be to start with 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Give the body 48 hours to recover between sessions. People forget that fitness isn't built during the workout, it is built during the recovery. Especially with his history of asthma and surgery, his recovery capacity might be a bit lower than he remembers.
That recovery piece is so overlooked. You feel good on Monday, so you go hard Tuesday, and by Wednesday you are exhausted and your stomach is acting up, and then you quit for 2 weeks. It is the classic cycle. Herman, you mentioned the gallbladder surgery earlier. Is there any specific timing with meals that he should consider? Because bile is related to digestion, does exercising on an empty stomach help or hurt with bile gastritis?
Good question. For most people with bile reflux or bile gastritis, exercising on a completely empty stomach can actually be worse. If there is no food in the stomach to buffer the bile is just hitting the stomach lining directly. However, exercising with a full stomach increases that intra-abdominal pressure we talked about. The sweet spot is usually a small, low-fat snack about 60 to 90 minutes before exercise, something like a banana or a bit of oatmeal. This gives the stomach something to work with without being so heavy that it causes reflux during movement, and he should definitely avoid high-fat meals before the gym because fat triggers more bile production.
So it is a bit of a balancing act. Not too full, not too empty, and low fat. It is almost like he has to treat his stomach like a delicate piece of machinery that needs the right fuel at the right time to operate without vibrating too much.
That's right. And speaking of vibrating, we should talk about the second-order effects of this return to fitness. It isn't just about the muscles and the heart. For someone who has been through a stressful period like the Grace Leak, the mental health benefits of just being outside in the Jerusalem air are massive. We live in a hilly city, Corn. Even a simple walk around the block here involves some elevation gain.
Tell me about it. My calves are constantly reminded of where we live. But that is a good point. A flat walk in a park is very different from a walk in our neighborhood. Daniel should probably map out some flat routes initially if he wants to keep his heart rate in that steady zone too. If he is hitting a 30% grade every time he leaves the house, he is basically doing high-intensity interval training whether he wants to or not.
Right. He might need to take a short bus ride or a drive to a flatter area like the railway park to get those steady, low-impact miles in. It is about environmental design. Make it easy for yourself to succeed. If every walk feels like climbing a mountain, you are going to find excuses not to do it.
Let us talk about the gym work again for a second. We talked about reps and breathing, but what about core work? Often, people think they need to do 100 crunches to get their core back. But for someone with gastric issues, is there a better way to stabilize the midsection?
Crunches are actually quite bad for reflux because they compress the stomach repeatedly. I would much rather see him doing isometric holds. Things like planks, but maybe starting with incline planks where his hands are on a bench instead of the floor. Or the dead bug exercise where you are on your back and moving your limbs while keeping your spine neutral. These build what we call functional stability. They teach the muscles to hold the organs in place and support the spine without that crunching, compressing motion. It is about creating a stable canister in the torso.
A stable canister. I like that image. It is about internal support. So, if we are summarizing this for Daniel, we have the 10-minute rule for consistency, the conversational pace for intensity, the recumbent bike or swimming for low impact, and isometric core work instead of crunches. It is a very specific, very intentional way of moving.
It is. And it is a long game. If he does this for 3 months, his body will adapt. The stomach lining can actually become more resilient, and the way his body handles that constant bile flow will stabilize as his overall metabolic health improves. Fitness is a systemic fix, not just a muscular one.
I think that is a really encouraging way to look at it. It isn't just about getting bigger biceps or more endurance. It is about helping the whole system function better after a period of high stress and medical intervention. Herman, you mentioned the data visualization earlier. If Daniel is tracking this, what metric should he actually care about? Is it steps? Is it heart rate? Is it just the number of days he showed up?
In the beginning, the only metric that matters is consistency. Did you do the thing you said you were going to do? I would tell him to keep a simple calendar, a green check mark for every day he did at least 10 minutes of movement. Once he has 3 weeks of green check marks, then he can start looking at things like average heart rate or distance covered. But don't let the data become a source of stress. The stress is what led to the break in the first place. The goal here is to make movement a source of recovery, not another item on the to-do list that causes anxiety.
That is such a vital point, especially for someone like Daniel who is very focused and wants to do things right. The pressure to be perfect can be the enemy of being active. I think there is also something to be said for the social aspect. He mentioned he wants to get back into it, but sometimes doing it alone is hard. Strava has that social component, but even just walking with a friend can change the whole experience.
Definitely. The social pressure of meeting someone for a walk is a great motivator, and it naturally keeps you at that conversational pace we talked about. If you are talking to a friend, you aren't going to overexert yourself to the point of triggering a flare-up. It is a built-in speed limiter.
I really hope this helps him. It has been a tough year for him, and seeing him get back that energy would be great for the whole house. Herman, any final nerdy insights on the bile gastritis before we wrap up? Anything he should look out for in terms of warning signs?
Just listen to the timing. If the discomfort happens during the exercise, it is likely the mechanical jostling. If it happens an hour after, it might be related to the post-exercise meal, or
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox Turbo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.